Right. Who's gonna be with the brothers tonight? Give yourselves a hand. Come on. So before we start, we're gonna have a word of prayer. And then we're gonna get straight into the lesson, all right?
All right.
Okay.
All right, let's bow our heads. God, thank you so much for bringing us here tonight, God. We're so excited to hear the word of God be preached, Father. I'm so honored, Father. I'm humbled to be able to be speaking to these men, God. And I know to you, Father, at the foot of the cross, we're all even. Father, at the foot of the cross, you know, we've all separated ourselves from you. But God, it's amazing that because of your grace, we're here. Because of your grace, we get to hear the word be preached. Because of your grace, I get to be up here, which I don't deserve at all. But Lord, you still take our brokenness and you make it great,
yeah,
Father. And you take our brokenness and you still use us to do incredible things. And I pray that tonight, Father, our hearts can be open to the message. And,
yeah,
and Father, that we can just grow in our attitude,
yeah,
God, and how we walk on the face of this earth.
Yeah.
Father, that when people see us, they know that there's a God.
Yeah.
Father, we love you so much and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, guys. So I'm excited to speak to you guys. And in the title tonight, we're going to be talking about growing in our attitude.
Come on, all right?
And not just, like Matt said, not just the, you know, attitude that, you know, snapping your fingers type attitude, but we're talking about spiritual attitude, all right? But there's some of those type of attitudes that can get in the way of that, right?
Sure.
So, but let's talk about attitude. So what is attitude in its basic form definition, okay? So you look up the word attitude, and this is what you come up with. It says, a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior, right? When you read that, it's like, okay, what does that actually mean? Some of you guys probably know. You know, I tell you what, you go online, you look up a word, you're not always going to get what you're really looking for, and sometimes stuff is a little shady. But let me help you out a little bit.
Come on.
All right? So I remember being a kid, as all of us can, right? In middle school, I remember growing up, waking up, and during the winter time, the floor would be like freezing cold.
All right.
Now you got to put your socks on, you can't even walk in the house barefoot. It's freezing, right? Who likes waking up and it's freezing in there? Maybe many of us like the cold, and all right, maybe that wasn't a good question. But here's the thing, right? So I used to get up freezing, and I didn't understand why.
Okay.
And in middle school, you know, you got some common sense, you know, you're not that immature. So there's a thermometer we would have inside my apartment. And so when I see the thermometer, it actually says 68 degrees to 70 degrees. And I'm like, why is the thermometer saying 68 degrees to 70 degrees, but I'm freezing?
Right.
So I'm telling my stepdad, like, hey, is there any way you do this? And he has no idea what's going on, right? And so we bring my grandfather in. He's the handyman.
All right.
So he comes in, checks it out. What we end up realizing is that the thermometer wasn't the problem. It was a thermostat. Because it is the thermostat that sets the temperature in the room.
Oh,
all right. You follow?
Yeah.
So in the same way, that is your attitude.
Okay.
A person with attitude, you want your attitude to make something happen when you step into a room.
Right.
That when you come into a room, people are impacted just because of your attitude.
Right.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, having a positive attitude. You want to be that thermostat. You want to come on with an attitude that, man, when people see you, they're inspired.
Come on, bro.
You know, they want to do something incredible because they see you in the room.
Amen.
Right.
See, having a positive, winning attitude, it doesn't take long. You're a decision away from making that happen. But I think as disciples, if you're a disciple of Jesus, coming in with an amazing, positive attitude is something we have to be doing.
Sure.
It's something that has to be part of who we are.
Come on, Charles.
You know? And, you know, John C. Maxwell, who's an expert in leadership
right. And
effective living, you can pick up one of his books, where he says that attitude is the difference maker.
Mm.
It makes a difference. And I believe that. You know, the difference, it's a difference maker of a small group, whether you're with a group of people. It's a difference maker if you're trying to start a business. It's a difference maker as you as a person. It's a difference maker at, you know, being a student. It's a difference maker at your job.
Right.
I mean, dude, having a great attitude can change everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
And here's one thing and one fact about having a good attitude is that it's 100% under your control.
Right.
Yeah.
There's many things in life you don't have control over.
Yep.
Let's face it, right? There's probably something today that you just got. I mean, I remember this morning I got up, picked up my Starbucks cup that I've been sitting overnight in my car.
Yeah.
I literally like grabbed it so softly. Picked it up, thing went everywhere. I mean, like, coffee just went on my coat, on my book. It was just like, I barely touched the thing, right? But I had no control over that. I thought I did. But there's just things in life that you just don't have control over.
Come on, Charles.
When you have 100% control of your attitude.
Right.
Here's a quote from Charles Swindoll. Who's an actual Christian author. One of my favorite, not because his name is Charles, but one of my favorite authors. He says, I'm convinced, listen to this, I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. That is an amazing quote. I mean, I had goosebumps when I first read that. He's like, what happens to you in life is only 10%. How you react to it is 90.
Come on, bro.
That is powerful.
Yeah. Mm.
The control that you have to have an incredible life is totally under your control. You can't blame anything.
Right.
How you respond with your attitude is important.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, are you as positive, upbeat, and driven on a day full of rejection, criticism, as you would be on a highly successful day?
All right.
Would you have the same attitude if your day was completely wrong as it would go completely good? Because it's easy to have a good attitude when things are going good, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy. But what about when you're having the worst day of your life?
Sure.
And you feel like everything is just crashing down.
Yeah.
Does your attitude stay the same? Right. And so we want to talk more on a spiritual level now, but why is an attitude important? Why is a good attitude important to God? All right, so you can open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verse 27. You guys with me?
Yeah. All
right, cool. So Luke 10, verse 27. Here in the book of Luke, it says, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So as we all know, if we read this passage before, this is the greatest commandment. Mm-hmm. This is the greatest thing you could ever do, is to love God with all your soul, mind, and strength. And so here, when it talks about your soul, it's talking about your personality, all right? Who you are. When it talks about your mind, it's talking about your intellect. When it's talking about strength, it's talking about your body and your will. But when it talks about your heart, it's really talking about your attitude.
Right.
And God saying that, you have to love me with all your attitude.
Right.
You have to love me with all you have, all your heart. Our attitude towards God matters significantly.
Amen.
It is the greatest commandment.
Right.
And what does it look like to have an attitude, a good attitude towards God? It's being excited about your quiet times.
Come on, bro.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like when you get up and you're about to spend time with God, your attitude is like, man, God, I couldn't wait to wake up and spend time with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people struggle with that, right? I'm in there, too.
Come on.
I get up, man, listen. Come on, go back to sleep. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Having a good attitude toward God is,
profound.
Man, I'm excited to get up and have my quiet times and spend time with God.
Listen.
I'm excited to be with my brothers and sisters.
I
man, I cannot wait. Man, who cannot wait to come to midweek?
Woo!
I mean, every hand should be up in here.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You gotta be excited about, being excited about God is also being excited to see his people.
Yeah.
You know, and having an attitude where when I get here, I'm excited to be with God's people.
Amen.
Yeah. Another thing is, to have a good attitude towards God is, man, what is something, God is going to do something amazing today.
Right.
Amen. It's just waking up with that one thought. And God's going to do something great. He's going to do something that's going to blow my mind. But guess what? There's actually something that needs to be transformed before you have a good attitude. And that is your mind.
Come on, dude.
What you think about, right? Because it starts in your mind. Just go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2.
All right.
Just go to Romans 12, 1 to 2. And this is God talking about how important it is to have a transformed mind.
Come on.
Because that's where it starts. That's repentance.
Right.
Right? Metanoia. Mm-hmm. Having a changed mind.
Right.
Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds.
Mm-hmm.
So God is saying, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world.
Right.
With our attitudes, we have to be different. The way we think, we have to be different.
Right.
Mm. You know, let's face it. Much of the world around us is completely negative.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people in your class complain about homework? How many people in your class just complain about so... I mean, I walk on campus, I hear more complaints than anything, man.
True.
People complain about every. I mean,
so
like,
true.
He didn't put lettuce on my sandwich, man. This happened the other day. He was upset because he. Now they put lettuce on his sandwich. Like,
man, they
actually, lettuce takes away all
I
the flavor from the sandwich.
I complain when they do put lettuce on his sandwich.
But it's like.
I want lettuce.
Complaining about that, right? So the world is brutal, right? It's unforgiving. It's punishing. I mean, even the jokes that people say to each other. Man. World is brutal, the way they feed the mind.
Yeah.
And the truth is, we can't have that attitude in God's church.
Right. Yeah.
Man, we can't be disciples that God says do not be conformed by the patterns of this world.
Mm.
And we're gonna talk more about that in practicals later. But God cares so much about what goes on in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And how that starts with, you know, that begins your attitude, what happens in your mind. The word transformation, right? So it says, but transformed. It means metamorphosis. Right? It means a turning into someone different. Paul's saying that you have to morph into something different, someone different. And we have to be something. I don't know if you've ever thought of a butterfly or caterpillar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
all the time.
You never heard of a butterfly or caterpillar, man.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk about
what's that?
Pokemon,
yeah, exactly.
Butterfly.
A what?
Butterfly.
So,
hey.
Dude.
Yeah, okay, we got some
Caterpie. Caterpie.
We got some
Kakuna.
Got
Metapod.
But, I don't know, but to the world, change is not attractive, okay? Oh, I gotta change?
You gotta level up to change,
You gotta level up to become a butterfly, right? Yeah, there you go, bro. Thank you, man. So, the thing about a caterpillar is that when it transforms, it becomes something beautiful, right? So that's the same
unless
thing
need an evolution
stone. When you change your mind and you change your attitude, what happens is you become something different.
Or trade.
You become something different.
Just like you got to trade on to become something different.
Yes, you do have to transform that. And so transformation is powerful. And the thing is, God wants us to become something beautiful. That's what change is all about.
Come on,
that's
Charles.
What he's saying here.
Come on.
You see, Romans 12, verse 3.
Come on, bro.
It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. That's part of transformation. A big part is changing the way you think.
Amen.
Not thinking of ourselves more highly than you are. That's for your attitude. Like, you know what? You gotta be in touch with who you are.
Yeah.
You gotta know yourself. It's hard to change, but you don't really know yourself.
Right.
It's true. There needs to be a transformation of the mind, but that starts with knowing yourself. Right? And in verse three there, it also says in the second part of that verse, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment.
Mm.
Right, just being sober about the way we think about ourselves, about God, and about all that. We have to have a sober mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And you got to think about, man, what do I need to change in? What is something I want to be that's beautiful? Think about it like that, you know? Even just the way you think about that differently can change
right. You.
You know, but it all starts with your mind and your attitude.
Come on, bro.
So just take an honest look at yourself. You know, examine yourself. What is lurking inside your heart? You know, is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it sadness? Is it anger? Is it lust? Is it pride? Is it jealousy? We got to know, man, what are the things that are corrupting my mind?
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Here's another quote. I'm using a lot of quotes today, too, man.
Come on.
I'm a big quote person. I don't know about you.
Come on, Charles.
But those who say that they can and those who say that they can't are usually right.
Yeah.
Because it all starts with your mindset. You know, if you say to yourself that you can't do something, the chances are you're not going to do it. But if you come up and you think, I can do this, there's a greater chance that you're going to be able to do it. That you are going to be able to do it.
Sure.
Right? So that's what he's saying there. And why is this true? Is because it starts in your mind, transforming your mind, repentance.
Wow.
You know, if you start off by saying, I can do this, you will. But
right.
If you only keep telling yourself that you can't, you never will. It starts there. Again, so Stanford Research Institute but that's why I'm not at Stanford. But so they have discovered, right? So Stanford, they've discovered that one, the number one ingredient to a successful life is a positive attitude. They measured positive attitude versus knowledge and skills. Check this out. 87% of being successful is a positive attitude. Only 12.5% or 12% is about knowledge and skill. That's it. Only 12%.
Come on, bro.
And you're probably like, why am I paying tuition?
Feel great about it.
Why am I going to school? If only knowledge and skills is only 12% of success, right? Well, here's the thing. We need to go to school and learn those skills, right? But I'll tell you what. If you don't have a good attitude, you won't get anywhere in life. This won't happen. You got all the talent in the world.
Talk about it, bro.
A good attitude with
Come on.
It's not going to work.
Come on, Charles.
Yeah.
And this is proven. This is fact. That a positive attitude is what's going to help you to be successful. And we're not talking about successful in the world. We're talking about successful for God. And successful for the world, too.
Actually.
You can be successful in anything that you do. But it starts with a positive attitude.
Come on, bro.
It has to be important to you. All right, so I want to break down to some practicals here. But
come on.
You guys ready for these?
Yes.
You trying to grow in your attitudes?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. So three major things that I think are super important. And in the three, you can write these down. Number one, we're going to talk about is focus on the positive.
All right.
Okay? Yeah. And the second one is going to be do things that bring joy.
Amen.
Do things that bring joy. And the third point is set your mind to be grateful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we're gonna go through that. So number one, focus on the positive. You know, just last semester, you know, I noticed that there was a big problem with my attitude.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yes. No, it was tough. I felt like by default, I'm a negative thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody here can relate to that?
Sure.
You feel like just by default it's negative. You have to work so hard to have a positive attitude. Right?
Well, yeah.
And you know, I ended up last semester really wrestling with that, man. I remember going to Rob's house and just being in tears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm just like, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm a disciple. I'm following Jesus. You know, and all these things, I'm like, why am I feeling the way I feel?
Yeah. Come on, bro.
You know, why do I get up in the morning and I just feel sad or I feel negative? And, you know, I just wanted to get down to it, man. I wanted to figure out, man, what is stopping me from having a good attitude I need to have? And so I ended up reaching out to Fred. So Fred is a Christian counselor that goes to our church. And so I walked up to him and I was like, man, dude, I need your help, man. Like, and it took a lot of vulnerability to do that, you know.
Right. Yeah.
to say that I needed some therapy, that was hard. But getting healed mattered more to me than what I thought.
Right.
So I got with him and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And one of the most powerful things that he helped me to see was that I'm not putting positive things in my mind.
Mm.
Is that I'm letting myself being corrupt.
Let's go, bro.
Positive things.
Come on.
And I just surround myself, and you know, what I listened to, what I watched was not positive.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't helping me. It really dragged me down. And so Philippians 4:8 was one of the passages we looked at. I want to share this with you guys. Philippians 8:4-9 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true,
mm-hmm.
whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4, verse 8 to 9. This scripture is telling us that, man, everything that's good, pure, holy, admirable, trustworthy, excellent, Paul's like, man, you got to think about those things.
Come on, bro.
Those are the things that have to be in your mind. But here's the problem. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And I'm going to read this in three different translations so we can really get this.
Yeah.
So in the CEV version, contemporary English version,
nope.
1 Corinthians 15, 33 says, do not fool yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you.
All right. I'll talk about it.
1 Corinthians 15, 33. If you, this is in the Living Bible, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to them, you will start acting like them.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 15:33 says, in the NIV, bad company corrupts good character. Here's the thing, guys. The reason why your part is so negative, the reason why you don't have a good attitude, is because you let too many negative things consume your mind.
Come on.
That's what the scripture's saying. Bad company corrupts good character. And you know what? Company doesn't just mean the people you're around. But bad company includes our companions and what we visit on a daily basis.
Mm.
Your cell phone.
Come on, bro.
Right? That is also considered a company.
Come on.
That you allow in your minds. Netflix, Spotify, what the music that you listen to.
Come on.
The movies that you watch.
Yep.
The things you follow on your social media page. Guys, this is the bad company that the Bible's talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
It's corrupting you.
Right.
It's filling your heart, it's filling your mind.
Come on.
And that's something that I never got exposed or saw ever as a Christian.
Mm.
It's corrupting your character. That's why it's so hard to have a good attitude, because you're so surrounded and so consumed with the things of this world. And you're never gonna have a good attitude if you're only filling yourself up with that. Instead, what should we put in our minds, right?
Come on,
what should
help us
we
out.
Put in our minds?
Come on, Charles.
Our minds, we need to have pure thoughts.
Come on.
Mm. We need to think about things that are pure.
Preach.
That are good, that are positive. You know, you're not gonna be any different than the world if you like what the world likes.
Mm.
It just doesn't work. We have to put in our minds things that are pure. We have to meditate on the scriptures, right? I want to talk about the scriptures. If you never meditated on scripture, I want to encourage you tonight. Meditate on scriptures, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, when you just sit down and you just read a passage and you let it just sink in your mind, just take out everything,
right.
And let the scripture
yeah.
really take over,
on.
Oh, man, your quiet times will be through the roof.
Yeah.
There's times where I read one verse and it's like the best quiet time I've ever had. Because I just literally sat there and I just focused on it.
Right.
And I just, man, what is God really saying here? Like,
come on, man.
Wow, like. Like, really, like, I'm no longer condemned?
Mm.
Like, sometimes we just read that and it's like, yeah, no condemnation for those that are. It's like, no, meditate on that.
Yeah,
yeah. Come on, Charles.
Because if you really believe that, your life will change, your attitude
will
change.
Come on, man. Come on,
Charles. Right?
Yeah.
So it's meditate on the passages.
Right.
They're really going to transform your
life. Come on, Charles.
Yeah.
Right? Music. We're going to talk about music.
Yeah.
No, what music do you listen to? You know, because we gotta include in our hearts, is the music helping me get closer to God or helping me just be inspired?
Mm.
Right? Maybe you just gotta switch your playlist up to something more inspiring.
Mm.
If you really listen to the lyrics of the music that you listen to, I ain't talking about the beat, man. If you listen to the beat, you know, I couldn't tell you how many songs I listen to on the radio. I'm like, yeah, and then wham, some like F-bomb came up, or
on the radio.
Some like impure stuff about some girl came up, and I'm
true.
Like, man, bro, like if that wasn't in the song, I'd be good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could just take that one thing out of the set. But here's the thing, man. Something as little as that can consume us and contaminate us, right? So switch out your playlist, man.
Yeah.
Listen to some things that are going to inspire you. That are going to move you to be closer to God. That's going to move you to love people, right? One thing that I do, for anyone here who's gotten encouragement cards and keeps them, one thing that I do is every month I go back over the encouragement cards that I receive.
Wow.
I just stack them up on my desk. There's like a ton of them. And I'll just read them. Guys, you're much more awesome than you think.
That's
yes.
true. I agree.
Guys, you're way more awesome than you think, man.
Sounds accurate.
If you just really focus on the things that people say you are, man, I read those cards and it's just inspiring, man.
Yeah.
I forget how blessed I am.
Yeah.
I forget that and I read it and I get inspired again.
Well,
and I want to go out and help more people become Christian. And it just changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, read over something. Think about some things that inspire you.
Yeah, great point.
I'm stumbling over my words here. You mind if I get some water real quick?
Go ahead.
All right, man.
Dude, my throat got so dry.
This is pure, guys. I've gone pure. We got to keep purity in me, you know what I'm saying?
I had strep throat.
So guys, we gotta fill our minds up with pure thoughts, man. And we gotta be okay with stepping up to say, you know what, I'm not gonna watch this. I'm not gonna listen to it. We gotta have the courage to do that, man.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Our attitude's on the line. You know, and that's on the line. So let's bring these positive things in our minds and our hearts. I'll tell you what, that changed my life, man. I'm starting to become more of a positive thinker now. Right. My mood has changed, you know. And God has blessed it so much, you know, because I fought for that pure mind, pure heart. Number two, do things that bring joy.
All right.
Who likes to be joyful?
Woo!
Right?
Come on, baby.
Being
on,
joyful, man. Is...
You man, love my
that
joy.
Is, you, but... Having joy is such an incredible, we long for that. It's something that we love, you know? And let me keep it to you straight. Not everything that you do in life is gonna bring you joy.
Yep.
Not everything in life is gonna bring you joy, right?
What?
Yeah.
Who here has to take pre-rec classes?
Oh, yes.
Everybody, right? You have to take it because you gotta do a major. Man, listen, I don't like bio. Alright? I had to study hours. I never worked so hard for a B in my life. And I took an anatomy course. Alright? I took anatomy. Man, it was the hardest B I ever got. You know, it was not joyful, you know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Things in life might not be joyful in the moment. Okay? But after, you gotta look at the end result. Because guess what? I'm graduating this year.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that I've ever seen that,
you are playing. So
you know, honestly, dude, I didn't even think I was going to go to college, man.
Wow.
Which is really crazy. You know, not everyone in my family went to college. I only have one cousin that finished, you know, that I could think of. Wow. So it's like, for me, it was just like I was just going to not do it too, you know? But it's amazing to see how God worked.
Yeah.
And how... You know, getting me through those classes, I thought about the joy that's going to be at the end of the finish, you know, at the end.
Right.
Come on, Charles. Seeing the joy that's going to happen afterwards, right? And so, even when things are hard, we got to still find joy in hard circumstances,
amen.
Right?
Amen. Come on.
Because they're there. God put them there. They're there. I love Proverbs 17:22. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength.
Wow.
Right? So a cheerful heart, man, it's good for you. You have to find things that bring you joy. Guys, I'm going to tell you tonight, it's okay to play video games, amen?
Hey,
preach.
Yes!
Yes!
Listen up.
He's got to flip it, but how much?
It's okay. In moderation.
Amen.
But guys, here's the thing: you gotta find time to do things that bring you joy. Okay? If it's something that you can do for an hour, take an hour out of your day.
Come on, Charles.
Take an hour out of your day. Take that's just you know that's just what I'm saying. An hour, right?
Can anyone babysit for an hour?
Could you not just pray for an hour? Right? But here's the thing: take an hour out of your day to do something that you enjoy, man. You need that. It's good for your heart. You know, anything. You know, if he's watching something that obviously is appropriate. I like watching Drake and Josh. You know?
Yeah!
I was hanging with the brothers the other day. We was watching Drake and Josh.
Yeah.
Man, we were laughing, man. It was so much fun, you know? No, because here's the thing, man. I think as disciples, man, we got to be the most joyful people on the planet.
Right.
Yeah. We got to be filled with joy, man. That everything that we do, man, is fun. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And that when we find those things that we love to have joy with, that we are joyful when we do them.
Right. Come on.
It's frustrating to do something that you enjoy and be frustrated because you think about this paper. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do your paper, get everything you need done, and then have joy when you do what you need to do. When you do the things that you enjoy. Right? So guys, we need to do that.
Yeah.
And guys, I want to encourage us with this scripture, ending this point off. But in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, this is Jesus before he went to the cross, right? Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross,
right,
scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus' attitude all the time was thinking about the joy that was set before him.
Come on.
The joy that was set before him. He always, man, he found joy going to the cross.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Right, we got you.
Now, if he did that, we can find joy in any circumstance. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Mm-hmm. So let's find the joy in the hard circumstances. Number three, and lastly, set your mind to be grateful.
Yes.
Okay? The attitude of gratitude.
Come on.
Come on.
Ooh. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9.
Come on, bro. Great stuff, Charles.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. I'm actually going to read this straight up. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. Let's really listen to Paul's attitude here.
Come on, bro.
Like,
come on.
His attitude here is amazing.
Right.
So as we know, Paul, he wrote most of the books in the New Testament, right? Probably was the most impactful disciple of Jesus. Planted so many churches. Did so many incredible things. And so, but let's look at his attitude here. Verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles." Wait, Paul, you wrote like most of the New Testament. What are you talking about? "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle."
Amen.
"Because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Mm. And his grace to me was not without effect."
All right.
"No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach. And this is what you believe." Man, look at Paul's attitude there, man. He's like, this guy wrote most of the New Testament, made incredible impact, but his attitude was like, "I am the worst. I am the worst of the apostles. Man, I don't even deserve to be called one." Man, Paul was just grateful, man. He was grateful to be part of God's church. He didn't boast about what he did and what he didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't boast about it. He was just like, "Man, I am the worst."
Yeah.
Yo, is that your attitude tonight? And you know what, man? I'm just grateful for, number one, being in heaven with God if you're a disciple.
Yeah.
That one day, all these troubles, all these, this pain that you're going through, man, it's going to be gone. And that's all I need, man. If God took everything away from you today but still had your salvation, what would be your attitude?
Mm.
If he just took everything away from you, but yet you were still going to heaven, you should still be fired up.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because, man, salvation is so precious, man. It's a gift, and it's so valuable. And so, we gotta be grateful for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was Paul's attitude, man. Hey, look, I'm here, I'm working hard, I'm doing all these things, but you know, I'm not boasting about that. Lord, compared to you, at the foot of the cross, I'm nothing. Man, if that's your heart, you will do incredible things for God, man.
Come on.
You will always have a good attitude. Because it doesn't matter what happens in life.
Right?
Right? Because when you just content with just heaven, everything that happens in life, it just doesn't even bother you.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, we struggle with that. I struggle with that, man. But I gotta fight. I gotta fight to have that good attitude when times get hard.
Yeah.
And that was Paul's attitude here.
Come on.
But yeah, so let's talk about a few things. What are some things that stunt our gratitude?
All right.
And then we're gonna talk about what are some things we can totally be grateful for. All
right.
Amen. So, how am I doing on time? I'm not sure, we're good.
48.
All right, cool. But yeah, so one of the things that stunts your attitude or attitude of gratitude is entitlement.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
So feeling like, oh, when I come to stuff, you know, I deserve to be served. I'm here to be served.
All right.
And so, you know, what's incredible about the church is that, man, and they sacrifice so we can have this room in here, man.
Yeah.
Like, hey, the church gives so much, you know, so that we can thrive, right? And so the attitude should be not entitlement, but coming in like, man, what can I do to serve?
Come on.
Man, yo, I'm here to serve, man. I'm here to build somebody up.
Come on.
You know, because I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that you're in my life.
Come on.
Man, I haven't talked to you not one time, but I'm grateful for you, man. You know?
That's right.
It's just that attitude that you bring in the room of just like, I'm not entitled to anything, man. I'm here to give.
Mm.
I don't deserve any of this. You know, another attitude that stunts my attitude of gratitude is criticalness.
All right.
Mm. Just being critical about stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know, critical about leadership. oh, well, I don't like the way they kind of do things. They let me do it, I'll do it better, you know. or, oh, man, dude, do we have to have midweek time? I mean, come on, what are those guys doing? You know, it's just like critical about the church.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know that when you're critical about the church, you're critical about Jesus' bride?
Come on.
Wow. Oh, wow.
This is Jesus' church. So anything you say about his church, you're saying about his bride. So having a critical attitude, it doesn't get anyone anywhere, man.
Mm. Come on, Charles. Come on.
It doesn't help. Right? Instead of being critical, we're coming in and we're going to be like, you know what? Again, what can I bring? What can I do? You know what, brother? You did a great job. You know, even when we feel like people didn't do great, we got to let them feel good, man. Because guess what? We don't got it all together. And when I make mistakes, I'm hoping someone comes up to me and say, dude, you did a great job, man.
Yo. Good job,
hey, thank you, bro. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, we need that.
Yeah.
And so just how much we need it, we need to give it, you know? And people have to feel loved and appreciated, not critical. And I know that's something Satan really gets with me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's something, but it's something we could totally have control over, our attitude towards that.
Come on.
And we could definitely make a difference. All right. Another critical attitude is taking sisters on dates, man.
Come on.
You know, and I know people here have different opinions about that. And I get it. You know, there's different things you're probably thinking about, you know, with sisters and dates and all that stuff. But let's dig more into the heart.
Come on.
Right? What is your heart about the sisters, man? Like, are you more frustrated with the fact that it has to be this legalistic thing where you take sisters on dates? Or is it about, I want to encourage her? Or I want to get to know her? I want to help her get closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the heart behind it, guys. And so that's why we do what we do. It's like, I want to get to know my sisters, man. I want to help them. I want to help them to know that there's no guy in the world that they're going to run to. Because I have brothers in the church that actually love me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That I don't... When they see some guy hitting on them, they're just like fleeing because they're thinking about you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
And how much you care about them.
Right? About that.
So we got to get rid of this legalistic view. It's worldly. We got to think about the heart. We got to think about, man, I want to encourage my sister. I want to love them.
Come on, Charles.
And so how can we do that? Go on dates. Right? That's perfect. That's a way you can do it. Okay? There's plenty of other opportunities when you're in fellowship. You know, you talk to the sisters, hey, they love compliments, right? Those are some nice sneakers you got on, I don't know, right? So there's different ways, you know, keep some boundaries though with that, all right? But there's plenty of ways where you can encourage, you know what I'm saying? And really get to love them and know them. You guys are with me?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Just running through these last ones here. But, comparing your life to others.
Oh,
man, dude. You will never be grateful, man. Here's the truth. You're always going to find somebody that has something that you don't have. That's just the truth, man.
Yeah.
Dude, you can't have it all. Great point. And so comparing yourself to other people, man, you will be the most miserable person in the world. Dude, it just doesn't work. Stop trying, man. So... just looking at your life and be happy where God has you at, man. That's peace to me, man. It's like, God, we good? I don't got to be like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Because God is so proud of you at where you're at right now.
Come on, Charles.
Yeah. Amen.
He's so happy with you, man. And you don't have to compare your life to other people. We can be inspired and imitate people's faith, but don't compare in a way that's going to be detrimental to your spiritual life.
Come on, dude.
All right, cool. So here are some things that we can be grateful for. And we talked about going to heaven, right?
Yep.
Guys, we got to be grateful for God's word, man.
Come on.
Yo.
Yes.
God's word.
Come on.
Do you realize how much stuff God's people went through for us to have the New Testament today?
Come on.
I mean, like,
preach.
The apostles gave their lives, man.
Yes. Yeah.
So that we can have a word today. Man, this thing right here is the most valuable thing you got.
Amen.
The fact that it's written. The fact that it's the word of God. Like, wow, like, you have this.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah. It's true.
In Hebrews, it says that they longed to see this.
That's right.
And they didn't get to see it.
Right.
We do, though. And we have it every day on our phones, in our laps, on our nightstands, in our kitchens. I mean, it's everywhere. Guys, we got to be grateful that we have
it. Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
Dude, this, we got to be grateful for suffering. Because guess what? Without it, we'll never mature.
Yeah.
Dude, we gotta be grateful for the sufferings that we have.
Yes. Yes.
But sometimes you're not grateful for it until you look back.
Yep.
And you're like, wow, I would be grateful that happened, because man, I would have been the same dude I was had that didn't happen, right? So we gotta be grateful for the sufferings and things in our lives, right? And so, and last but not least, we gotta be grateful that we're actually not in control of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, because being in control of your life, where has that lead you?
Yeah,
oh, major consequences, right? Yeah. You think about before you was decisive. Man, not having control of your life just doesn't get you. So it's being grateful that God is in control. God is in control. Psalm 103.
Mess with another mess.
That's a whole song about God being in control. I encourage you to read it. Psalm 103, the whole chapter.
Yes.
Just God is just sovereign. He's in control of your life. And that he has your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
He has everything that you need.
Yeah.
And that God is in control and we're not. I'm so grateful for that, man.
Yeah.
That I get to live the life. Guys, so as we're wrapping it up here, man, let's be men that walk around with positive attitudes.
Right.
Let's walk around that when we come into the room, we set the temperature like a thermostat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That when people see us, they're like, man, who is this guy?
Come on. Right. Yeah.
Who is this guy walking in here? Man, what happens is you see Jesus. And that when we go around, we're a light to the world, man.
Yes.
And when people, man, that we can have an attitude, man, that will change not only our lives, but the people around us, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's put those positive thoughts in our minds. Let's do things that are incredibly joyful. So we can live an incredible life. And let's have an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
And guys, we're going to see this campus ministry burst. We've been in
it.
Amen. We're going to see God do incredible things.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm so excited to talk to you tonight, man. And so let's go out there and let's have amazing attitude.